A good neighbor is worse than a distant enemy. And of the others none dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And there were increasingly added those who believed the Lord. Acts 5, verse 13 and 14. It was a remarkable thing that the first Christian congregation in Jerusalem had found favor with all the people. Acts 2, verse 47. That was not normal, John 16, verse 2, 15, verse 19. But thus far it had only been a time of transition and commencement for the newly formed community. The miracles and signs, and perhaps for some also the opportunity to give way to an already longer existing antipathy against the priesthood and authorities, and the whole fin de siècle mentality of those days, could have been the cause that many were sympathetic to the church, as long as it had not yet been able to develop its testimony of faith into its roots and show its terror. Certainly, that was called being sympathetic. They praised God in a general way. But the evangelists, also this same Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, have often taught us that when a multitude praises God, sometimes Luke used for that exactly the same word, there is not much depth in it, and often the principle is not good. Scripture says that among those who cried out, "Crucify him," there were also some who shortly before had praised God. Thus it was a temptation that this first congregation found so much favor. It was a temptation for the non-Christians, for they could turn themselves too quickly to this sympathetic circle, this religious group, which was so very sympathetic towards the poor and took good care of them, in order to remain on good neighborly terms with these not yet joined family members, acquaintances, and friends, and still continue to live with their temple and its offices, but also with the desire that they, from their side, would acknowledge them in that good neighborly relationship and endure the being of a Christian as a matter of mentality. It was also a temptation for the young congregation, for she could forget that she claimed to be the old church, and that her offices were the legitimate continuation of the offices of the Jewish temple priests. It was easy to neglect to show all the good neighbors sharply and distinctly that those who acknowledged the offices among them, the Christians, by that fact took on an antithetical attitude against the office bearers of the carnal religion, the Jewish religion, which God had said to be obsolete and invalid as institute. They could forget to do their duty, namely to cry out and say, "Remember, O people, that we do not gather together as good neighbors, and are no society of interesting religious types, but we draw a line straight through the city, people and world." And when a little later the Christ had again proved his presence here in this church community, by giving the full and rich life to the crippled man, by means of these thus identified office bearers, the ecstasy was great again. Thus, when the lords of the court had summoned these apostles of healing before them, the general sympathy was, of course, immediately with those miracle men, for that is how people are. They remembered that the Nazarene, whose apostles had performed such a sympathetic deed, had been summoned before the same lords of the court. The ladies, who had wept when the Nazarene went on the way of his cross, would of course have said that it was actually horrid that the Sanhedrin now started again. Because of their severe distress, they forgot to weep for themselves and for their children. They were such sympathetic people. Who? The apostles, of course. And they themselves as well. They wept. Indeed, they did. But the danger increased. Who would not gladly have had that same mentality as there was in that religious circle of fishermen, philanthropists, men of prayer, and opponents of such a Sanhedrin? That church she was in danger of becoming a club, a great club, without the antithesis, without a claim to exclusiveness. That is something different than exclusivism. In a warm protest against that exclusivist Sanhedrin, who again began to molest those miracle doctors by the grace of God, of forgetting that the church has to live by the antithesis and therefore also by exclusiveness. Who would not like to be on good neighborly terms with them? But to be neighborly with Church B, the new one, was a coming together on the basis of mentality. Mentality now is an inter-church matter, even a non-ecclesiastical matter. In other words, they preserved their good neighborly relationship, also in Church A, the old one. That was the church of the temple, of the priests, and of Solomon's court. Because of the good neighborly mentality, they were in danger of forgetting to seek the one legitimate institute that Christ had stamped, identified, and bound to this apostolic office. But Christ was watching over his church. He had been present in that divine situation, that miracle with the crippled man. But soon he also showed himself from the other side. Before the feet of the miracle doctors, he struck dead a married couple, one by one. For they had indeed also one by one detached their bond of marriage, their eros, their natural bond, from the communion of saints, from the terms, the judgments, the terror of the church, the church, the church. He had thus loudly proclaimed that he was back with all the strictness and all the judgments of earlier days. That had been the severe and mighty style he had shown in his Sermon on the Mount. Oh, that double death of Ananias and Sapphira! But by that the church was saved as church. Just pay attention to the consequences. Of the others, the non-Christians, no one dared to simply join that church. It was all of a sudden over with that good neighborly relationship, and that from both sides. It was radically finished. They suddenly saw again that this was no cozy loveliness, but rather a matter of life or death. Even the deepness of the heart was being disciplined. The seats of judgment were placed there in the church. And all the forming of cliques are here on earth a deadly danger if the depth of faith have not become a communion of saints in the presence of the official office. Ananias and Sapphira, who would follow? Of the non-Christians, nobody dared to join them in a familiar way. The Greek text indicates a gluing together. The clique forming was finished. The people became afraid. The people from the circle of Church A, the old church, of those priests and that Sanhedrin who wanted a good neighborly practice and understanding approach. No longer did they base their dwelling together on mentality, and no longer did they group together with Church B, the young church, under the aspect of being good neighbors. On the contrary, they understood that there was something else at work here. It was God's strength from above, or at least a mighty force. It was a mighty force. The people began, as it actually says, to think great of them again. The esteem was acknowledged again. Here all the weeping ladies of Jerusalem were sharply told again that all that sympathy for the right tone and harmony would not accomplish much in the Christian community. They killed each other there. They exclaimed very loudly, "Weep about your sins." But oh, the blessing, the blessing! When the neighborly bonds were broken, the spell was broken too. But the unity again was saved. The unity that is out of Christ in the Spirit, and to which the world must confess that Christ gathers his church and not his club. He does not know that offensive word when he teaches confessions. After the negative about that not daring, and after that both negative and positive decisiveness, they thought great again of that church, came also the positive. There were added more and more who believed the Lord. The Lord. for this movement was about him and not about people of the right type or of the same mentality. And faith was the unifying power, not a mentality, and not an insight of faith, not a type of faith, and not a concept of faith. Thus it should be now also. Let people think great of the church again, both in the negative as well as in the positive. In the negative, for usually one does not want to join an instituted church. But of that not daring, are people still talking of that? No, for we have reasoned away the great commotion from the church as institute. We, with our so-called pluriformity or denominationalism, and with our mentality groups, and with our concentrations on the basis of something that is in us as people. But in Jerusalem, people no longer dared, for they understood that at the gate of heaven, God will ask of everything, also about what one has done deep in his heart, with and in church A or B, as the people, and not the Lord, called it. As a footnote, the author is alluding to a common statement in the 1930s that the Lord will not ask at the gate of heaven to which church you belonged. Dr. K. Sietsma, a colleague of Schuller, once responded to this statement, "No, I do not believe that either. But those sins you have committed about the church will have to be forgiven you, otherwise you will never enter that gate." And when they began to think highly about the church again, then, and here you can see the positive aspect, they came again to the Lord and understood that church A and church B did not exist. There was the church, and Christ was not allocated to an A or a B. He had left that old institute, even though there were yet such fine souls in it. And he gathered now there, where there was that discipline, and he himself, with Ananias and Sapphira, and that crippled man, which stood there trembling as soon as he could stand without trembling. It was well again. They did not dare to do just anything. They understood that a good neighbor was objectively wrong. It was objectively better that the distant enemy in the Sanhedrin presented the problem with grinding teeth.